afternoon. Jumped the gun on me there, boy.
No, I was on time. I was like, okay, you guys are late. Good afternoon.
Whoa. Well, antsy this new year, huh?
I think we nailed it. I think we nailed it. I think we actually, I'm going to be honest with
That's
you.
That's a good point, Nick. We definitely nailed it.
Ready to jump right into 2021. He stuck the landing. Stuck the entrance here.
I'm happy with it.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy Dune Year.
Yeah. New Year, sorry. Same us.
Can't steal that from Rob.
Yeah. I'm trying to track the list of movies that we watched here. When did we actually start worrying about COVID? Was it Incident at Loch Ness or Color Out of Space?
Oh, that's a great question. What was the first one we did in lockdown?
Because I recall doing Incident at Loch Ness in lockdown. And then I know for a fact that we did Color Out of Space in lockdown because we were complaining about how it felt odd watching a movie that is people getting sick in a confined
space. Trapped in a confined space. Yeah. Right, right. Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess, yeah, Color Out of Space would have been, that was before Incident at Loch Ness or after?
Afterwards.
So I guess Incident at Loch Ness might have been the first one. That would have been late March, right? Because March is documentary month.
Really? That's
So that would have been after the, I mean, let me just look this up.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We had only done 10 movies.
Yeah. No, it's been a wild year. It's been a wild year.
Jeez.
We should mention it's the Wattati Awards.
Oh, yeah. This is new.
It is. Welcome to the 6th annual. Oh, my God. 6th annual. Wattati Awards. Hollywood's best and brightest are lining up on the virtual red carpet.
Is this the 6th? Really?
The 6th.
Yeah.
Because we didn't do one until the end of the first year, right?
Correct.
Are you saying that we're going on our 7th year?
No, we're going on our 6th year. We're going on our 6th year, Nick. We did our 5-year anniversary this April, as a matter of fact, recall?
No, this is our 6-year anniversary in April.
Right.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, so I guess technically then we would be going on our 7th year. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh my God, fuck.
We're getting old, guys.
I can't believe we're still doing this.
Nick's beard is very gray. Mine is very gray.
Let me tell you something. This stupid game.
Yesterday, I pulled out a 4.5-inch long gray hair from my head.
Oh no, God. You measured it?
I just pulled it out and I looked at it and I was like, holy shit.
Oh, man. Dude, I've been going gray since high school.
I
have gray hairs all over my head.
Yeah,
I've accepted it. I have long accepted it.
I love it. I can't wait to go salt and pepper.
This is the most underrated thing about getting old is that I think the gray hair look is pretty dope.
By the way, Nico, this Word docu sent me is not opening.
Yeah.
What?
This Word doc you sent me is not opening. Wow. It is just crashing every
Too
time.
Too many nominees.
It crashed his computer, this one Word doc.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Finally,
you got it?
That took an hour.
Sorry.
Holy shit.
You're into the gray hair, though?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little hung up on this because I don't have a lick of gray.
No, I know. And you never will.
You'll never get a lick without it.
I'll never age, man. I'm an ageless wonder.
You're going to get red hair before you get gray hair.
My hair's growing green.
Yeah, God, I'm terrified of finding a gray hair.
Why?
Because.
So what? It's a great look.
Because I don't want to lose my youth, man.
Doesn't matter.
I don't want to lose it. My youth is slipping away.
There are plenty of like good youthful people that went gray very early. It defines their character.
That's true.
Like Steve Martin.
That's true. That's a good point.
Come on. Let's be like Steve Martin.
Steve Martin's had gray hair forever.
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 You cannot scrounge the internet and find a picture of him without gray hair.
They didn't have cameras before.
That's right.
Exactly right. Yeah, another one of those guys, too, that was just old before he was old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just he was always old.
Like Betty White
was always old.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know? Wilford Brimley, always old.
You know.
Larry King, always old. By the way, Larry King is struggling right now. Say your prayers for Larry King.
Is that how we're going to start off 2021?
God, if we lose Larry King, Jesus. Not into it.
No.
Fuck you, 2021.
It's already worse. I'm done with it.
That's how we should start out this year. Last year, everybody was bright-eyed for 2020.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start out this year with, like, a fucking just big middle finger.
Expect treachery. Expect treachery around the corner.
Sleep lightly, folks. Do you remember? You can't trust your friends.
Do you remember all those fucking rolling 20s parties and memes and all that?
2020 like, vision, baby!
Oh, my God. I want to be like, I want to go back in time now and just laugh at all those people, just smirk at them and not say what I'm smirking about.
Yeah. I got to be honest. It was pretty crazy combing through the list. Oh, I'm sorry. The nominating committee thought it was pretty crazy scrolling through the list, seeing how quickly I should say how quickly reality changed in the first 2 months of the year and then how life just came to a screeching halt for the next 10.
We laid off much of the voting committee. Like we only had like two or three members left, really.
Tough
so.
Economy. They had to go.
Yeah, exactly.
They had to go.
What are you gonna do?
So they were working overtime.
Yeah. We didn't let them collect either because we're that terrible.
No, absolutely.
No, we wouldn't do that.
No, fuck them.
Yeah. Fuck them. I'm sick of them.
So you think the year actually flew by?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Dude, yes. Are you kidding me? This is one of the fastest years of my entire life.
I do. For sure. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I feel the total opposite.
Really? You're the only person I know who feels the total opposite.
Now, it's still like going quickly like most years go quickly. Like, it's still like an exponential acceleration in the timeline. But I think this year it sort of hit a plateau.
Time is weird, though, because some things feel like they both happened yesterday and 1,000 years ago at the same time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's a great example, all right, for those of you in the U.S. The election was exactly 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if they happened yesterday or 3 years ago. I don't have a clue.
In my head, they definitely happened yesterday. This is the thing. This is exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel like I've been in a state of limbo for 10 months.
I feel bad for you.
Yeah, there's just no regularity to anything. It's just I wake up and I don't know what day it is, and we're all staying home all the time, and I can't go out.
This should serve as a great wake-up call for everybody, for like carpe diem here, all right? Because everybody was like, if only I had more time, I would get into gardening, you know?
Right.
And then we all had time.
We all had time.
And nobody did jack shit with it.
Right.
It's kind of an interesting existential question, though. Like, what's worse, a shitty year that flies by or a boring year that goes by very, very slow?
Right.
You know? Do you want to forget
a boring year that goes by? You mean an exciting year that goes by very slow? Or
No, because it seems like in Nico's case, it was a boring year that just went by totally slow and he was in limbo.
Time certainly flies when you're having fun, I would say.
But to me, it went by extremely fast, and I feel like I have forgotten a whole year of my life.
Interesting.
That as well, though.
That's what I'm saying.
I definitely lost the past year of my life. Yes. I feel like it's just gone. Like God just subtracted a year off of the count.
Everybody's life.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. No, some of this shit, like Itchy the Killer was this year.
House
was this year.
Yep.
What?
Crazy.
The Terror of Tiny Town was this year.
The Counselor. Oh,
do you know what I'm
baby.
Saying? This feels like 10 years ago.
Strange magic.
We did Strange Magic this year? What the hell?
Come on, guys.
I'm not surprised we did 9 to 5 this year, though.
Okay.
That feels like a 2020 to me. That one fits in.
Yeah, some of this stuff, man. I mean, I don't know. It's a strange year for a number of reasons. But actually, as far as Wattad is concerned, though, it's been a very exciting year. This is the record number of movies ever watched in a calendar year here on Wise.
Which really means the least number of weeks that we skipped.
Correct.
Yep,
that's really what it means.
47 movies are eligible for awards this year out of 52. Pretty insane.
Look at five John Carpenter films. I'm really proud of us in that.
I'm waiting for the year that we hit over 52.
Can't do it.
Right.
Where we do like two movies in 1 week or something.
It's like the year that Wilt Chamberlain averaged 49 minutes a game, even though there's only 48 minutes in a basketball game. But because of overtime, it brought him over the count.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's one of the most amazing sports stats ever. but anyway, so because it's a record number of movies eligible, a record number of nominations, guys. Stacked crop of nominees this year. The nominating committee, as I said, worked overtime.
Yes.
And I think they have delivered a pretty solid crop.
Did we feed them? Did we provide them with water?
I would say so.
I don't think
not,
so.
Not, well.
If I had anything to say about it.
Not water to drink and keep their families alive, but certainly enough work to keep them up till 4 a.m. Let's just say that.
Thanks.
The nominating committee. Oh, before we forget, I want to mention this is episode 252 and we missed episode 250 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Did you have any fanfare to play fashion or anything?
No. Just this.
Commemorate the moment.
Happy 252.
I guess that's fine.
Happy 252. Can't wait for 504.
Such a random number. Happy 321.
Well, that's a pretty good number.
321. Yeah, it is actually. I did that 321.
There you
go. I did that totally inadvertently.
2 Cents Radio episode 250. We went to Nebraska. With Tad episode 250. We forgot to mention anything.
I mean, in fairness, 250 was our stockings episode. We just didn't bring it up. So that was also exciting. We got gifts.
It's kind of like when we did our 200th episode celebration 2 weeks after episode 200.
It's the only way to do it. It's the only way.
All right. You want to get into this? Everyone knows the rules by now. We have a number of categories celebrating the best and brightest of the past Wattat year. Actors, directors, scenes, quotes, all among the nominees. Mm-hmm. We will read the list. Each category, I believe, has 12 nominees. Some have less, but most have 12 nominees. We will deliberate which we think is most deserving of the Wattatty. If one of us is not content with the majority rule, you can hit the veto button. And if you do so, oh, you have a veto as well. Look at that.
I have my veto ready.
Is that an Among Us person?
Yes, this is a gift from Robert.
Oh, my God.
It's a doggy chew toy.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, well, this ain't good. By the way, Nico.
What?
Exactly 0 socks have come in for me.
Oh, goodness.
I fucking tracked it yesterday. You know what USPS said to me?
What?
Due December 23rd. Still in transit.
So they've lost that thing.
Yeah, they've lost it.
Or it's just next year.
Next year? Oh, my God.
You don't have to
get
him a gift for next Christmas.
They've lost it.
That would blow my mind.
I swear to God, I tracked it yesterday.
Like, we'll get to it when we get to it. It, like, rolled underneath a desk table or whatever, and they just have no idea where it is.
I don't understand how his arrived on time and yours arrived.
An opossum came into the mail room and carried it out. Yeah, that's what happened. Yes,
exactly. Or maybe one of the USPS guys just loved it so much he kept it.
That's also possible. He smells those socks and rubs Nico's face. Like, I'm not going to finish that.
Oh, God, you made it weird.
Whoa. You can hit the veto button and you can choose your own winner. You can choose among the crop of nominees, or you can go outside of the nominees and insert your own write-in candidate.
But we only get one veto each.
One veto.
One veto each. Can't veto a veto. Final category cannot be vetoed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Any other rules you want to add?
So what happens if Catherine doesn't win?
Well, we'll see.
What do we do?
Did the voting committee get particularly crazy? There's no way she doesn't win. She's the favorite by a mile.
The nominating committee included her. We'll see what the voters do.
All right.
All right, guys, here we go. Are you ready for this?
By the way, I'd like to mention that this is probably a better roster of movies than anything that Hollywood actually delivered for
no
us.
Question.
Not even close. Like, we actually had a good
year.
This
year, I mean.
Yeah. I agree with you.
We actually
Hollywood had a bad year.
Yes. So. Yeah. When we have a better year than Hollywood, you know something's very wrong.
By the way, also, I will be chiming in with the previous winners in each of these categories. Uh-huh. I actually dug through the voting committee actually dug through the history on this, got the record because I never wrote it down. So,
or you mean like the voting award is
presenting the award is Pink Flamingos, and is that what you're doing?
But anyway, I've been going through, and much like the Oscars, you look back at the winners that we selected, and you raise a couple eyebrows.
We're on the spot, though. Could you imagine if the Oscars did that? If they were like getting nominated as Meryl Streep, Amy Adams, and Anne Hathaway?
And there's just a crowd of old white guys just like screaming.
Who should we go with?
I mean, you each get one veto, and that's our Shape of Water one.
That'd be a fun show.
Just Guillermo, you can't vote for your own movie. I will.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Adam, here's your first category.
By the way, I haven't scrolled down. I'm actually waiting.
Okay.
Why do you have to make me read so much? Okay. I don't read. I haven't read since third grade. This is just... This is ridiculous. All right, here we go. The Good Afternoon Award for Most Memorable Quote. One of my favorites. All right, and here's the lineup. I thought you only murdered boys. I go both ways. Jennifer's Body. I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum. From They Live.
One of your favorites?
One of my favorites. Are you really that cold? The truth has no temperature. The Counselor. What a fucking stupid line.
The actual worst movie I've ever seen. It still to this day holds that title for me.
It's just that much worse when you read it. It really is.
Right? Somehow, it's worse when you read it than when Cameron Diaz read it.
But think, Adam, somebody, not only you're reading it, someone had to write it. And then read it again.
No, these very words that are in front of me right now were written by Cormac McCarthy.
Right. By the way, not the last time the Counselor will be mentioned on today's podcast.
Oh, my God. All right, I'm still going. We're not even close.
Yeah.
Oh, that last one I'm looking at. What the hell's the matter with you? all right, here we go. A car? Mary Alice Louise? No? I'm not reading that right at all.
Mary Alice Louise? No.
No, this is a land yacht. Yeah. To Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Yes.
losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. The Rock, of course.
Fantastic line.
People get cut. That's life. I know who killed me.
Dark horse in this race.
Put the cookie down now. That's exactly how it's delivered. Jingle all the way. Remember, kid, if you can't stand the heat, stay out of Miami. Your balls stick to your leg like crazy glue. North, I didn't see that shit.
It was such a shame you didn't get to watch North.
It really was a memorable experience.
I love you so fucking much, I could shit. Multiple maniacs. I can't even say that. Brick not hit back. Blood sport.
Brick not hit back.
Yeah, I guess that's
you
right.
No, brick don't hit back, baby.
It's a hell of a brick. How's that gumbo, Chance? A tragedy. Hard target.
One of my favorites. I feel like you guys didn't give it its due.
Yeah. I'm not.
I don't even remember that quote. That's how unquotable it is. Okay.
All right. And finally, so how do you like your eggs? Done in the morning, scrambled, or fertilized? 200 cigarettes. Ew. Ew.
And you actually got one more there, don't you?
I do. Oh boy, here we go. Remember.
Please, come on. Do it in your Kurt Russell.
Oh God.
Come on. You've got this in you.
Do I have this in me?
Come on, Jack Burton's your boy here.
He is my boy.
Give me the best delivery.
Yeah, it's just John Wayne. Just remember what old Jack Burton does when the earth quakes and the poison arrows fall from the sky and the pillars of heaven shake. Yeah, Jack Burton just looks that old big old storm right square in the eye and he says, give me your best shot, pal. I can take it. Big Trouble in Little China.
God, I love Jack Burton so much.
God,
I love Jack Burton.
Not the president line, though. That's my favorite.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
We're not back by dark. Call the president.
I prefer this one. I think the monologue, the line delivery, I think like that encapsulates the character of Jack Burton better than anything.
You're not wrong.
I do love it, but how quotable is it? Like, it's tough to pull that one out, well, out of your back pocket.
Okay. Funny you should mention that, Nick, because again, I dug through the archives.
Jesus Christ. Do you have more?
Oh, these Listen are past winners.
The past winners. 2015, the first year. From Pompidou.
Oh, right. I remember
2016, You Just Got Stuffed from Thanksgiving.
Oh,
classic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Kung Pao, the quote was, wee oo, wee oo, wee oo.
The best.
2017.
Wee oo, wee oo.
I love that line.
2018 was Nicolas Cage reading the alphabet from Vampire's Kiss.
And 2019,
right. And 2019 was Murph from Interstellar.
Oh God, yeah, just as a big fuck
oh
you
God,
to
awful.
Me.
One quotable quote among those five.
The alphabet.
We
is
are
pretty,
awful.
You we just have, got stuffed is legitimately quotable, but the rest of those, like, not even quotes.
Well, now I don't want to pick the one I was going to pick because I want to continue the trend.
What were you going to pick?
I mean, I was leaning on Chew Bubblegum and Kick Ass as legitimately the most quotable.
That has been awarded enough, though, don't you think?
I agree.
That has been awarded to death.
I agree.
I love that line, but like we don't need it's retired. It's happy, you know. It's
right.
Good.
But to continue the trend, if I had to pick right now, I would probably pick Brick Not Hit Back.
Brick Not Hit Back.
I think that's the one that.
Really?
Because it's least grammatically correct?
just to continue what we've picked for the past 5 years, I think Brick Not Hit Back really encapsulates it.
I think it's a new year. I think we should be trying to improve and not devolve.
That's an interesting theory.
Maybe that's a good way to approach life. Okay, here's my logic. I love people get cut. That's life.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
It is great.
I was dying when I heard that one. And also, I Know Who Killed Me is one of my favorites of the year, personally. Just insanely terrible. I think, again, Jingle All the Way, Put the Cookie Down, that's pretty trite. Yeah, I guess the Julie Newmar quote, I wouldn't choose. The I Go Both Ways, again, Jennifer's Body, that was in the trailers. It's well-treaded territory. My logic is I want to reward the screenwriter here because this is really a screenwriter's award. There is no best screenplay award at the Wattaddies, but there is a best quote award. And I just think in a truly baffling screenplay, the line, "The truth has no temperature," stands above the rest. And I think Cormac McCarthy deserves this award personally. So that would
you
be,
give it to Cormac.
That would be my vote. I would say, are you really that cold? The temperature, the truth has no temperature.
Yeah, that was my number two pick.
Okay.
What's so your number one?
The Multiple Maniacs quote.
Yeah, that's not passing. I'll just tell you that right now.
Oh, you don't ever say that. I have veto power, dude.
There's a veto button here.
You don't ever want to say that. But
the repercussions,
I'm not sure if I want.
The repercussions would be astounding.
Oh, you think this would hurt the show that we do? You think that they would look on us?
Would hurt the credibility of the Wattaddies?
No, our viewership would go down.
It's like the Oscars choosing Driving Miss Daisy.
No, God.
It might drive me to suicide if you pick that quote.
My vote is for the counselor.
I'm okay with that.
I could tolerate it.
Any objections?
It's too early for objections.
Yeah,
certainly. Let's keep it cordial.
I think that I want it on the record. Brick Not Hit Back.
Okay.
Just put it on the record.
Runner up.
But that'll be the runner up winner. Are You Really That Cold? The Truth Has No Temperature from the Counselor.
What the hell does that even mean?
Still haven't figured it out, to be honest with you. All right. There we go. One category in the books. Next up, Nick, why don't you do the honors?
All right. We have one of our most beloved categories, the Giamatti Award for Best Supporting Actress.
You should probably update these names.
A little insensitive.
I don't think we can. I mean, you can't you can't rewrite history, you know?
They get our brand. They understand, I think.
To be clear, this is Giamatti as in Sir Paul Giamatti.
Sir Paul Giamatti. I didn't realize he was being knighted. Oh, did you see that Roger Deakins is getting knighted? That's dope.
Have you heard Roger Deakins' podcast yet?
Yes, I have.
Awesome, right?
It's fucking awesome.
It's fucking
dope. It is the best.
We are really just living in his vast shadow.
Oh, it's the best.
I just wish we had not only the filmmaking ability, but the podcasting ability of Roger Deakins.
Him and James, like, that's just the best thing ever. He had Josh Brolin on a couple months ago. That was just the best. He had Denis on, which was great.
Incredible patter.
Yeah. Anyway, love it.
Giamatti Award, Best Supporting Actress.
First nominee is John Candy as Eldona in Nothing But Trouble.
Not a woman.
Oh, you're right. Wesley Snipes as Naxima Jackson in Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Kind of a woman.
Kind of a woman.
Kind of. Peggy the Chimpanzee as Bonzo in Bedtime for Bonzo.
Definitely a woman.
What's the matter with us? This is really awful.
This is, hey, this is the committee. I don't know what's going on here.
I don't make the nominations.
I beg to differ.
Nominating committee.
That damn cat as Blanche in House.
Where are the women?
Hold on to your seats, Adam. We got a woman. Courtney Love as Lucy. And 200 cigarettes. Kind of a woman. Right?
No. At that point.
No, no, no. As the certified Nirvana fan, no, she is not a woman.
Okay. She's a demon.
Yes.
The beloved Catherine Alpin as Lovey the Elf in The Key to Christmas.
Of course.
We have Miss Dolly Parton as Dorley Rhodes in 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm. One of our faves.
Mm-hmm. Cameron Diaz as the Argentinian Malkina in The Counselor.
Oh, no. Oh, Catherine.
Penelope Cruz as the American Laura in The Counselor.
I will Pam never understand that fucking casting. How do you put Cameron Diaz in the Argentinian role? I don't get it.
And Penelope Cruz in the American role.
The fact that Penelope Cruz is married to Javier Bardem, too, is just that
they don't play each other's partner. It's insane.
No sense. Yeah.
It's insane.
No sense at all.
Pam Grier as Commander Helena Braddock in Ghosts of Mars. God, that's a movie I want to forget.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Catherine Keener as Amy Wells and Nora Wells in 8mm and Death to Smoochie. So she's nominated twice here. Well, she's nominated once for two roles.
I thought it was interesting that she played two women, both with the last name Wells, in the two movies that we watched of hers.
Spelt differently, though.
I thought that was worth noting.
That's interesting.
I thought it was interesting.
And Reba McEntire as Ma Tex in North.
Rob's favorite, I would say.
Very solid pick. This is loaded.
All right. Well,
I actually have that clip from North. I think. Hang on, just a second.
Hey there.
Hey there. That's like in the middle of a song and dance number that we just spliced a second from.
We had a son who was trampled by a ton of longhorns, but you're here cutes to fill his boots as flat as they may be.
You'll yell yippee-i-yo at the rodeo till the day's done.
Then you'll make a lot of pals with buffalo gals.
Just leave some for me.
Hey there.
Man, she's really regressed a lot since Tremors.
How dare you? Now, okay. I will say this category, we don't have the greatest history of awarding women in the women acting category. You know, it's also funny. I went back in time. I listened to the second with Taddies we ever did. And we're like, guys, New Year's resolution, include more women. And the following year, two women nominated for Best Actress. There were only two movies that started with it.
And we gave the awards to goats.
And you know what, though? Here's what I want to say to anybody at home saying, shame on you.
Right.
Have you accomplished any of your New Year's resolutions? I doubt it.
Great point.
Amen.
You know? So.
Here are the past winners. 2015, Marrying the Dog from Pompidou. 2006 team Dom DeLuise from Haunted Honeymoon. Nope. 2017, we got a little better. Jennifer Aniston and Leprechaun.
Okay.
How could you not?
Well deserved.
2018, Daisy the Sheep from Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex, but We're Too Afraid to Ask.
Oh, no.
So far, and then Catherine Alpin in 2019 for Camp Death 3. But, yeah, 3 out of 5 of the winners are not actually women.
No.
But I think we're agreed on this one, right? I think Catherine Alpin is the choice here again.
I think she is. There are 3 options, but she's the favorite. I think.
Is this what we promised her?
We did.
It is.
This is what we promised her.
We also have an acceptance speech in the bank.
See, I'm very.
That is so,
I knew this was going to happen. Somewhere in my gut, when you were like, listen, Catherine, you're going to win. I was like, will she? Because no offense to Catherine here. All right. I love her. I absolutely love, adore Catherine. Yeah. But I really want to pick Wesley Snipes here. I'm not going to lie to you.
No.
I can't do this again. This is when we were in college and we were young and dumb, that's one thing. But now, like,
we've matured out of this.
We spent so much time talking about how Wesley Snipes played, like, the best role of those characters in this movie.
But this is the Oscar Beatty performance for Why Is This a Thing, though, isn't it?
Right.
I have no idea what this award show is, Adam. That's a good point. Idea. I can't tell if we're trying to be like the Oscars of the shitty movies or the Razzies of the Oscars of the Razzies. I don't know what we're trying to be. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if we're trying to make fun of ourselves or celebrate bad movies. I don't know.
I
what are we doing? What is this?
It's so meta. It's too meta for us to even understand. Lost control of the meta-ness. Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
What do you think, Adam?
I had my 3 picks were Catherine, of course, but then it was also The Monkey. And
yeah, I also like that.
And it was Cameron Diaz, because come on, guys.
I also like Cameron Diaz. I think
I think if Catherine were not on this list, it would be Cameron outright. And it wouldn't even be close.
Certainly.
I mean, holy shit, that's an incredible performance. So,
Yeah, isn't she like also an Argentinian, but she had like a Baja accent?
Did she?
I think so. Like, because they changed it on set because like of her complexion. It's a very confusing backstory.
I need to like, you know, read the forums for that movie.
I'm all in on nepotism though, man. Like, there's only one nominee that I know personally.
True.
And we also recorded this acceptance speech. And if we don't give it to her, there's no excuse for the acceptance speech. Unless we just release the acceptance speech anyway.
Just because.
I will say this. If we're going by who actually had the best acting of the movies that we watched this year, got to go to Catherine.
That's true.
Legitimately.
Right.
Everyone else was just... These were some of these actors' worst roles, with the exception of Catherine.
True. And we would be making history if we got a consecutive winner 2 years in a row.
Right. Would be the first time I think anybody has ever won 2 with Taddies.
Exactly.
If I'm reading that right. Yeah.
We could do it.
That's my vote. Catherine's my vote.
All right, Catherine.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Catherine Alpin, Lovey the Elf, takes home her 2nd with Taddies. And here you go. Here's Catherine accepting the award. Catherine Alpin, 2nd Best Supporting Actress with Taddy. You've set an all-time record. I think you're the first ever repeat.
That's probably right.
After with Taddy, that's probably right.
Fuck.
Who do you want to thank for this prestigious honor?
Oh, man. Well, Meryl Streep for being famous to make my face potentially famous. And I was just like spat all over my computer. And I know my mom will listen to this, so hi, Mom.
Gotta thank the moms. Thank the moms, always.
Also my granny, because she might also listen to this, so. Hi, Granny.
Hi, Granny.
Hello, Granny.
Granny!
Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
I really miss my granny.
Okay, great speech. I was hoping for something a little more profound, or,
oh my god,
you know, save the penguins or something, like, you know.
Are you really disappointed?
End world hunger? I don't know. Like, usually,
don't you normally hate when actors do stuff like that?
I do, but you have a lot of work to do between now and your Oscar. You know, that's all I'm saying.
It all starts here.
This is the warm up.
Thanks for the reminder.
You know, just a couple causes or something, you know, a couple charities, a food pantry or two to donate to. I don't know.
What did Joaquin Phoenix say?
Oh my god.
It's so funny. I was about to do a shout out for like a really good restaurant in Vancouver that's like struggled through COVID. So.
Do it.
Yeah. Dachi, great place on Hastings. Wonderful people, locally run. Go there if you're ever in Vancouver. Dachi.
Nico, road trip.
Can do.
Okay.
Drive all the way.
All right, there you go. Moving on. You ready for this?
We're already 35 minutes into this train wreck.
Yeah. And 9 awards to go. The Buscemi Award for Best Supporting Actor. Your nominees. Elvis Costello as Elvis Costello, 200 cigarettes. I believe he only appears in a still frame. Is that right?
I think his hand appears.
That was not Elvis Costello.
He's credited in the movie, bro.
Are you sure about that?
IMDb credits.
He's in the credits.
What? They used his hand?
Yeah. Javier Bardem as Reiner in The Counselor. Brad Pitt as Westray in The Counselor. Oh my God, what a name. Did not know his name was Westray.
That's
Alan Cumming as Bog King in Strange Magic. Dan Aykroyd as Judge Alvin J.P. Valkenheiser and Bobo in Nothing But Trouble. Keith David as Frank in They Live. Bruce Willis as the narrator in North, and Dr. Ernest Menville in Death Becomes Her. Bolo Young as Chong Lee in Bloodsport. The Lobster as Giant Fucking Lobster in Multiple Maniacs. David Cronenberg as Dr. Wimmer in Jason X. Sinbad as Myron Larrabee.
Oh my God.
In Jingle All the Way. And the late great Wilford Brimley as Uncle Doovie in Hard Target.
Give me that.
All right.
Ugh. Wow. This
always is a competitive category.
This is an insane lineup.
Here are some of the luminaries that have won in years past. The Fox from Antichrist.
Oh God.
John Reynolds from Manos, The Hands of Fate. Gary Busey from Under Siege. John Voight from Anaconda. And Steve Buscemi himself from Horace and Pete has won the Steve Buscemi Award for Best Supporting Actor.
I want to put this out there.
Yes, sir.
The only nomination that I think could possibly be supported by me for Multiple Maniacs is this category right now.
That's the only one. I was against that immediately, and I like that movie.
This is the only one I will let squeak by because it did not. I'm not saying this is my first pick. I'm just saying this is the only one I won't object to. So if you want your Multiple Maniacs,
oh, object to. I thought you were saying, yo, let's go. For
it. Got it.
So what I'm saying is, if you want your Multiple Maniacs to get an award tonight, this is your time to strike for support from Nick, because otherwise, it's not. I'm not gonna go down without screaming and fighting.
Yeah, I'm not gonna fight for this here.
No, we're okay. Not gonna join the long train of award shows that gives an award to a rapist. So that's
holy shit, shots fired at him.
So yeah. Sorry, guys.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Who's your first pick then? Wow.
Motherfucker.
So we're not picking Javier Bardem then either?
No.
Oh.
I can't look at him without thinking of Mother now. It's ingrained in my head. Okay. And it bothers me.
All right. Well,
I actually wish I never watched Mother. Really? Because I can't appreciate Javier Bardem anymore.
Okay. That doesn't happen to you? I have a little bit of stake in that.
That doesn't happen to you?
Say what?
When you guys look at Javier Bardem, you don't think of Mother? Only and exclusively?
How are you going to get on board with Dune?
Mm. It's going to be tough, Adam.
Yeah, I guess it is. Damn.
It's No Country for me still.
It is, really? Yeah, it's always,
yeah,
no,
it's always going to be No Country.
A little, you know what? A little bit of Skyfall, though. Skyfall, yeah, the character sticks with me a lot in that.
Yeah. I love his hair in Skyfall.
Yeah, good hair in this.
Certainly.
Yeah, I was, there was a little bit of me that wanted to go Brad Pitt, because, you know, he wins an Oscar. It's also nice to maybe give him a Wittaddy.
No.
Maybe. Why not?
Come we're on. Not that sentimental.
No, we're not. Okay. Definitely not Elvis Costello. Okay, well, if we're boiling it down that much.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We can't even discuss this? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no. Well, we can talk about it.
Already? Veto button? What the hell?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Can I at least make my case for one guy? Because I have a clear winner.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Bolo Young. Oh. Chong Li.
Oh, okay.
Like, incredible. One of the great movie villains of all time. I mean, that would be I would veto for Chong Li.
You're not vetoing my veto.
What?
Who are you picking, Adam?
Wait, hang on here. Time out. Who are you endorsing, Nick?
I was not super keen on anybody, but I was liking Bolo Young the most.
Oh, well, too bad.
Oh, I know what you're going to do. What? Come on. Haven't we had enough, Keith David?
No. I am in the Keith David fan club for life, motherfucker.
Oh, Jesus.
If that guy is on there, that guy should have every single Oscar that's ever been won for roles that he wasn't even in.
Oh, God. No Sinbad? No Brimley?
No, no. It's Keith David all the way.
All right.
I lost Adam's mic.
Talk again, please.
Jiggle that a little bit.
Is it a little better?
There you go.
Okay. Can you hear me?
How long was he out?
No, just a second. I spoke up right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
All good.
I'm like his agent, you know? I need to come on board and get him into everything. And that was a hell of a fight. Come on. That's like the best fight ever.
As opposed to Chong Li at the end of fucking Bloodsport?
Not even close.
What?
Not even close.
Oh, Chong Li got robbed.
I agree. He did get robbed.
Chong Li, my guy. Oh, that will live in Wittaddy's infamy. I can't believe you vetoed already. Didn't even give me a chance.
I owe Keith David this. He won me my David draft.
That's true. All right. Well, you deserve everything that's coming to you now.
Oh,
here you go.
Ooh.
Next category.
Oh, no. Oh, I love this one. Why do you always do this?
Because it continues to be funny.
The Great Afternoon Award for Podcast of the Year, you know, parentheses, podcast that Adam was not involved in.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I admit it's a kind of thin year for this category, but, I mean, there were only four that were worthy.
I did okay.
There were literally only four good podcasts that we did this year.
No, oh, I see. These are the only good ones.
Only ones.
Podcast of the Year. What is this? This is a terrible... Someone better veto this, because every single one of these sucks.
Too bad you wasted your veto.
Whatever. The nominees are Deep Impact, Beyond the Black Rainbow, Death to Smoochie, and North. That's it.
Small list.
Tiny list.
Wow.
Much
but
like
very
the host
impactful.
That was not
very
included
impactful.
In the...
Very strong list.
There are...
I mean, it's interesting because when you really do look back at all the episodes, these four in particular do stand above and beyond the rest.
Oh, right. I see.
It's like
leaps
standing on the shoulders of giants, really. You know?
Leaps.
Oh, I see. I see.
Much like Adam wishes he could do.
Or it's actually, no, it's I use that analogy wrong. It's like giants standing on Adam's shoulders. That's what it is. I got mixed up.
So sweet.
My choice here is very clear, Nick. I don't know. Like the most fun that I had on the podcast this year was when I was not in the state and when we hung out with Quana and Rob and we watched North for the first time.
North?
That does stand out to me quite a lot, I will say.
I mean, we're talking about memories here. I mean, you look at the past. Kill Me a Thon was a winner in this category. Twin Peaks Fire Walk with Me was a winner in this category.
Mm-hmm.
Pink Flamingos was also a winner in this category.
That
I look
seems
back
wrong.
On the memories, you know,
right.
The memories that we create. This award is really about our friendship, and that's why
it's a celebration of friendship. I agree.
What's that?
This award is a celebration of friendship.
Oh, I see.
Sure, and particularly not with Adam.
That's right.
So my vote would be North. I don't know how you feel about this.
Yeah, you know, there's something about, like, breaking all of the lockdown rules and just, you know, traveling 14 hours west to watch North.
A 90s movie with Elijah Wood.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this the best podcast, though?
What would you say the best podcast is?
The Counselor.
Oh, well. Too bad you don't have a veto.
I'm just saying.
If only had a veto left.
I don't care. I'm just saying. Is
whoops.
This the,
it's I really mean, interesting that podcast. I believe. Is Deep Impact. That one also had Elijah Wood, right? That's the I'm thinking of the
yes,
right movie?
Correct.
So there are two of these episodes had Rob on them with a young Elijah Wood.
Correct.
So
coincidence? I think not.
It's a really strange coincidence how young Elijah Wood keeps popping up whenever Rob's around. It's not the only thing that pops up when but you know, it's
not the only wood in present when Elijah, Elijah Wood.
It's not the only wood popping up.
Yeah.
Rob's little Elijah too. We can't forget that.
This is made all the no, I'm sorry. This is really awkward given like Nick's slight resemblance of Elijah Wood as well. So doesn't help.
North! North is my vote.
Yeah, I'll pick North.
Congratulations. Podcast of the year.
I think you just gave the award to Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, how dare you. All right. Nick, you're next.
All right. My favorite award. The Fuck the Audience Award. For best podcast guests. We've had a lot of guests on this year.
Yeah,
is this our biggest list?
I think last year was a little bigger.
A little bigger?
Yeah.
Probably the lockdown, I'd probably say.
Right.
Maybe all that COVID stuff.
Maybe.
We have Rob.
That is the thing about 2020. The low-key thing about 2020 is now everybody's a podcast guest all the time. Because now, like, famous people got the setup in their home to do interviews with Fallon.
Right.
So now they just pop up on Marc Maron. You know,
yeah, like, they're like, just, oh, well, I've spent this fucking money on a mic.
Right.
Might as
it
well.
It is so easy to get guests on your podcast now. It's insanely easy. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, I have a Zoom account. I'll pop on in 20 minutes. What do you need me? 20 minutes? 10 minutes? I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Catherine so was easy. Thinking about us.
Yeah.
She was thinking about coming back on.
Right. So easy to be a podcast guest in 2020. Anyway, go ahead, Nick.
All right. So we have Rob for Deep Impact in North. And Quana for North, good friend Quana. Good friend of mine, Jeff, came on for Ichi the Killer.
One of his faves.
Mm-hmm. Friend of the podcast, Nick Romy. Now, he's a two-time guest as well for Beyond the Black Rainbow. Joe DeFeo, another two-time guest, The Terror of Tiny Town and Nothing But Trouble. Catherine Alpin, another two-time guest, Key to Christmas. A lot of two-timers. Dan
Wait
Evanson.
For the five timers club. Wait till we start the SNL five timers club.
Dan Evanson, who was this his first Wittat appearance?
Was indeed.
It was for Dune just last week.
This was a good one.
And another two timer, Zach Caponegro. Oh wait, he's dead.
Oh no.
Where's Zach?
I haven't heard from him.
Yeah,
they're moving. Did you know that?
Why do you know that and I don't know that?
He's moving?
I'm in the loop.
Where are they moving?
Don't announce where he's moving on the air. It's not anybody's business.
Give me his address and zip code, please.
It's nobody's business, but...
They're moving on the base, don't?
He's moving to Quantico. I can't tell you anything else.
Oh,
okay.
Do you know I wish them both a Merry Christmas? I didn't get anything back. I sent them a Merry Christmas text. Nothing. Radio fucking silence.
You should cut this out.
No, I'm not going to cut it out. Absolutely not.
Abby had told me the other day.
Did you send them a Merry Christmas text?
No.
Oh.
No, but.
Did Abby send them a Merry Christmas text?
I think so.
I want to know who got the response back.
They're not getting it from Zach. They're getting it from Jackie.
I sent one to Jackie too.
Well,
Yeah, I think
I'm the godfather to their dog. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am aware
I'm
of
the
that.
Dog father. I wished my dog son a Merry Christmas, and I didn't get anything back.
Yeah. It's really upsetting.
Very upsetting.
My pick is Zach.
Zach? No, fuck no. Him.
That's my pick.
I mean, do we...
Where are they moving?
No, I know. They didn't disclose this information.
Okay. No, in all seriousness... I want to give a shout out here, I think, to my friend Jeff, who he came on for one episode, but he has been a long, long time listener, supporter, constantly offering films for us to watch that That's you guys true. Don't even many films we've watched in this podcast. You don't even realize originated from Jeff's recommendations.
Oh, so he's a very important guest.
So I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Jeff.
Here's my thought process. Catherine Alpin has an award already.
She does.
Yeah, I agree.
Rob will never get it with Taddy as long as we're alive.
Correct. We could give one to Quanah as a slight to Rob.
That's not a bad idea.
Option. I believe Nick Romy has it with Taddy already.
Also, I would have no qualms giving it to Nick again. Fantastic person. A wonderful human being.
Here's the deal. Only one person on this list actually wants to win the award, and that's Joe DeFeo.
Does he? Oh, I didn't know that.
I believe on Joe DeFeo's Facebook bio, it says Wattati nominee, I believe.
Does it?
I believe so.
Oh, my God.
And he already messaged me 2 days ago being like, so am I going to win the best guest award this year?
Oh, no. Okay, he's trying pretty
hard. He tried lobbying the committee. Yeah. So here's my logic. The guy who wants it most will get the least.
I agree. I was worried I was about to have to use my veto.
No,
Joe from getting this award.
He will not.
I love
however,
you, Joe.
He did bring the heat in two podcasts and recommended two outstanding selections.
True. I absolutely love Joe.
Yes.
This is the hardest award because I genuinely love all of these people.
In the past, winners have been Michaela, Abigail, and Andrew Jury. Those are the three people to ever win.
Really?
Each of our girlfriends.
Each of our girlfriends.
Oh, that's right.
Correct. So this person will join the ranks of two people that had sex with hosts of this podcast and a guy that almost died in a war zone.
Your guess as to who's who.
Three people that went where no man or woman dared to go. Traveled where no people have traveled before.
Fucking ridiculous.
I'll go with Jeff on this.
Yeah, because here's the thing. At the end of the day, the only people I would object to are Rob and Joe.
Right, I agree.
On principle. I love them both very dearly, but it's about the principle.
I thought Dan did a pretty good job.
Dan was wonderful. I don't know.
Like,
was prepared, had expertise.
Carried you through the whole thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Helped me
here's
out.
The thing. Here's the only thing about that is like, Dune was last week. Like, that's I feel true. Like we haven't given it enough time to
it's too early
properly
to
age.
Okay, that's I get that. Okay.
And Dan will be back. I guarantee that.
Yes, he will.
Hopefully they will all be back.
All right.
Except for Zach, who apparently doesn't talk to us anymore.
No.
But apparently talks to Abby's girlfriend quite a bit.
Yeah.
The fuck, dude? I am going. There's going to be a strongly worded email.
Zach has not
sent in their direction.
Zach, I don't know, maybe if you stopped like bringing him up on the podcast.
No, I'm gonna keep. They don't listen anymore. They can't send me a Merry Christmas text or a Happy New Year or nothing.
Well, you could call them out until they respond.
Strongly worded. In fact, a strongly worded voicemail is going to be left on his fucking phone.
Very emphatic email.
Very emphatic.
No, I say call them out until they respond.
Yes, absolutely. I'm like Dave Chappelle calling out HBO. Oh. Yes, all right, Jeff, congratulations. Yeah. Fuck the Audience Award for Best Podcast Guest. Long time coming.
And that was a good pod. I know you didn't like the movie, but that was a good pod.
Did not
I mean, these were, frankly, every podcast we do is better when we bring a guest on because the guest is always better than us.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. Who just read that? Nick just read that?
That was me. So this is you.
This is me. All right. Okay. Oh, this is an old favorite returning after a year off.
Oh.
The Bunny in the Box Award for Excellence in Nicolas Cage. Your nominees, Nicolas Cage as Nathan for Color Out of Space. Nicolas Cage as Tom Wells in 8mm. Nicolas Cage as Stanley Goodspeed in The Rock. And Nicolas Cage as Willy Wonka in that tabloid picture with his son, Kal-El. Did you know Nicolas Cage's son was named Kal-El after fucking Superman?
What?
Yeah. Son's name is Kal-El.
Actually, isn't like Nicolas Cage like a huge Superman fan or something?
He
like
was
that?
Almost Superman.
Yeah.
He was.
Almost played Superman.
And the Tim Burton directed The Return of Superman.
Yeah, I knew there was some Nicolas Cage Superman tie. He almost played him, though?
Yes, yeah.
God, that's such a weird choice.
There was test footage and everything, right?
Yeah, you could see it online with him in the suit and everything, and they just dropped production.
Well, yeah. It's probably because... Okay.
There's a whole documentary about it, as a matter of fact.
It's a good documentary. It's not bad.
Oh, we should do that this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, documentary month. Yeah. Good call. Write that down so we don't forget.
I'll put it on the list. The list that never gets used.
So this year we fell into the habit of every time a famous person died, we covered a Nick Cage movie that they starred in.
Oh.
That was the case with Wilford Brimley. That was the case with Joel Schumacher. Actually, that wasn't the case with Wilford Brimley, but it was the case with Joel Schumacher and Sean Connery for The Rock. So Nick Cage just continues to pop up around every corner at every turn. What do you think was the best Nick Cage performance this year?
Color Out of Space.
Yeah. That's a good one. I mean, they're all...
It's...
If we're talking performance, like Nick Cage being Nick Cage...
It is...
I'd say Color Out of Space or The Rock.
It's Color Out of Space. Guys, come on.
If we're talking of the three, which one I liked the most, 8mm.
Something is wrong with the alpacas.
This is like... This is like everything we want out of Nicolas Cage. This
but
is him,
I
like
think...
biting into tomatoes and getting really mad for no reason.
Adam,
what?
Come here really quick.
What is it?
Let's say it.
Quiet Coyote. Have you seen Soul yet, Nick?
If we make it too easy, if there's too much of a consensus, it's not interesting for the listeners.
Oh.
You got to play it up a little bit.
Okay? Oh.
This is a performance art.
I never considered that before.
Okay. All right, let's get back to it. Yeah, Adam, I just don't know. I mean, I think it's a pretty tough race here.
All right, so a little.
But I'll tell you what, as a friend, I think we can all agree to Color Out of Space. What do you think?
You think you can concede with me with Color Out of Space?
I think I can do that.
I really enjoyed Color Out of Space. I think it's one of the best horror movies of the year. It was towards the top of my end of year list.
Actually, it was for mine too.
It's a good movie with some awesome Lovecraftian violence and horror. And I will say the Nick Cage role, although fine and competent, was sort of the weakest part of the movie. I almost think like they didn't need him in it, as opposed to Mandy, which is a movie by the same producers, had a very similar aesthetic and actually was advertised similar to Color Out of Space. That movie utilized Nick Cage's Nick Cage-ness better than Color Out of Space did, I think.
That's like a fluke as far as I'm concerned, though. How often does it happen where it's like the movie is, I mean, I'm serious, legitimately enhanced by Nick Cage?
Adaptation?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. Mandy, it doesn't legitimately happen very often.
Right. But not like in a Leaving Las Vegas way where it's like he's just great in the movie like actors tend to be great. I mean, like his signature awfulness actually enhances the movie.
Yep.
Right.
Color Out of Space, I was sort of indifferent on his performance. But again,
but
those alpacas.
like, I mean...
Like, I get what you mean by being indifferent because, like, this... I guess you could... Like, the movie didn't really call for a full Nick Cage. But
right.
I also can't picture anybody else playing that role.
My criticism with it is just that, like, he's clearly not, like, the star of that movie. It's just Richard Stanley. You know, through and through.
Correct.
And I think of what he created before what Nick Cage was creating. That being said, this is a return to form for Nick Cage in a way that, you know, we haven't gotten since like Vampire's Kiss, because he is quite literally doing the Vampire's Kiss voice.
Right.
And fuck yeah. So I don't know.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Color Out of Space, that Nick Cage as Nathan. Congratulations. Buddy in the Box Award for Excellence in Nick Cage. By the way, this year, we are not slowing down with Nick Cage content.
No.
History of Swear Words coming to Netflix. that movie with him as like a ninja or knight or something.
Yeah, what's that called? I have it.
What that was called? Yeah, it's like the Final Warrior or something. Something.
Jiu-jitsu.
Like there you go.
Jiu-jitsu.
What's that movie? I don't know who directed it. I want to say it was directed by the guy who made Borat, but Nick Cage plays like a wandering beggar with a beard and long hair or something like that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We got to look for this. Yeah.
Okay.
It looked fucking nuts.
Okay. There you go. Nick Cage on the board this year. Another right. Wichita for him.
So how many categories do we have left?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five categories
actually,
left.
Actually, four competitive categories. Hold on. 6 awards to give out, 5 competitive categories, 4 categories that can be vetoed.
And 2 vetoes left on the board.
Yes.
So we got to start making some moves.
All right, next category. Adam Hall, take it away.
All right. The Snyder Award for Best Director. Here we go. Ridley Scott, The Counselor. Dan Aykroyd, Nothing But Trouble. Danny DeVito, Death to Smoochie. I didn't know he directed that. Mm-hmm. John Turturro, The Jesus Rolls. David Lynch, Dune. Michael Bay, The Rock. John Carpenter, Big Trouble in Little China. Dark Star, They Live, In the Mouth of Madness, and Ghosts of Mars. John Woo, Hard Target. Banksy, Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Forgot about Banksy.
Yeah. John Waters, Multiple Maniacs. Panos Cosmatos, Beyond the Black Rainbow. And, of course, Neil Breen, Twisted Pair.
Neil Breen has won this award before in 2017. Wow. He won it for Fateful Findings. Fellow winners include, this actually might be the most stacked list of winners, Tommy Wiseau for The Room, Louis C.K. for Horace and Pete, Werner Herzog for Grizzly Man, and last year, very controversial choice, Tom Hooper for Cats.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Very controversial.
That was such a great moment.
Okay.
Talk to me.
This is tough because there's a lot of people on here who I adore and I respect, but this was not their best work. Like someone like Panos Cosmatos, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Deserved it from Mandy. Was snubbed.
Snubbed.
Does not deserve it. Criminally. Beyond the Black Rainbow, though.
Criminally.
I did see Beyond the Black Rainbow, and yeah, I enjoyed it enough. I wouldn't say it's his best work.
Yeah. But he wasn't with that last year, was that Cats stole it from Mandy? Is that what happened?
No, Cats, I forget what Cats stole it from, but we gave it to Werner over Mandy.
Interesting.
For Mandy, and you threw a temper tantrum and slammed the veto button during the sexiest scene category and shouted the name Panos. So you gave the sexiest scene award to Panos Cosmatos. That's what happened there. And that's
sounds,
what I have on the record here.
That
just
sounds,
says Panos Cosmatos.
Yes.
That's, you know what? Okay, then in that case, I feel like I've already redeemed him.
Okay.
So I'm not going to worry about it. Okay. That's wonderful.
I'm not keen on giving it to Lynch just because that's, you know, still rubbing salt into those wounds for the guy.
I agree.
I don't know. He's in my top three. I mean, he's, for me, like, the Lynchness of it all transcended the movie. And I think, like, a lot of times that's what we're rewarding in these categories.
Well,
where the direction actually stands out apart from the movie that's kind
of
mediocre.
Well, but I don't like the direction. This is part of my problem is that it's, to me, it's the least Lynch film I've ever seen.
Right.
Now, to not quantify whether I like the direction or not, right? If I was just going to say the direction stands out, I would say The Counselor is a very strong candidate.
The Counselor is my number one.
That's more Cormac's movie, though.
No.
That's more like that to me. Sure, Ridley Scott does some confusing things, definitely. But I mean, he was working with a baffling script.
I don't disagree with you, but the fact that they took that on as confidently as they did, the fact that Ridley Scott directed that movie,
he crazy. Put his name on it.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
See, for me, I kind of like Aykroyd here.
Oh, no, that's so forgettable.
You like Aykroyd? Interesting.
I thought that was a pretty, I don't know, you thought that was a forgettable movie?
Yeah, I did, dude.
Okay, I thought it was pretty nuts.
It is nuts, but in terms of like this lineup
and baffling, and also like he's a big name who did not direct any movies after this.
It's not as baffling as Ridley Scott, dude. It just isn't.
Are we sleeping on John Carpenter? We spent a whole month on the man.
A little.
This is fair.
And we do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of his movies listed here. He did
carry the year for
us. He did a lot of work. We're like, no. Sorry, dude.
And I think has also made over the years consistently Wattat movies.
And also has been...
I'm not sure you could say that about Ridley Scott.
Well, I also think Carpenter has been snubbed by Hollywood.
Sure.
And we spent a lot of time talking about how he's been snubbed.
Yeah.
And we have an opportunity here to maybe correct the record a little bit.
I do want to point out the spelling of Snyder is interesting. It is spelled Sidner, Cinder, because you
did
went...
Did I never correct that typo?
You went S-Y-N-D-E-R.
Have I literally been doing this for 6 years?
Yeah.
I think, this, yeah.
Guys, I'm not fucking kidding you.
You didn't correct it?
I was listening to the first podcast, and I made the same typo. In 2015,
using the same sheet.
Yeah, that's what it's.
I've just been copying and pasting, and I never corrected the spelling.
The Cinder Award. Damn it! I'm sorry,
well,
guys.
I'm going to send you my version back because I've been correcting typos as I go.
No, we're keeping Cinder at this point.
Is it just the Cinder Award? It's just the Cinder Award.
There you go. Yeah, we can't change it now. It's the Cinder Award. Absolutely,
you're right.
All right, the Cinder Award. I'm sorry, guys.
Banksy, I would cross out. Neil Breen, been there, done that. John Waters will have plenty more opportunities, I think.
No,
Michael Bay is an option.
Again, kind of a boring.
Might be one of the best Bay films I've seen.
Certainly, Totoro. Nah, Jesus Rawls actually has sort of came and went in my mind.
Yeah, me too.
I will endorse either John Carpenter or Dan Aykroyd for this award, and I'm good with either one.
Yeah, I'm not interested in Dan Aykroyd at all for this.
I think that this is a very we can finally use our podcast for good.
Okay.
I like John Carpenter. I think that's a good answer. So
let's do it.
John Carpenter?
John Carpenter it is. Congratulations
on the Cinder Award.
The best director goes to Hollywood icon, B-movie superstar John Carpenter.
Happy with that.
Okay. Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. What is this?
Nick,
I don't want to read these. You can't make me read this.
My favorite category of the year.
You sure you don't want to read it then?
Certainly not. Because you know why I love it? Because I get to make you read it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we have the Very Naughty Award for Sexiest Scene.
The best. The voting committee outdoes themselves every year in this category.
I can't wait.
All right. So our first nominee is Paul Rudd shows Courtney some love in 200 cigarettes.
I like that.
In the bathroom stall, I believe, right?
Yeah. We have the gas station simp in Holiday in Handcuffs. That's the creepy old gas station attendant.
The simp?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, boy. Am I using that term correctly? It's not really my word.
Loosely.
Am I?
Loosely.
No, guys that like getting handcuffed are simps, right?
No.
Okay. Sorry.
But it's okay.
Oh, sub. Sub is the word.
Yeah.
A sub? Sub. Sorry. Yeah, the gas station sub.
Disrespectful to the nominee.
Apologies. A simp is just like a dude that like thirsts over women, right?
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
Isn't that a simp? You guess so?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
And I think the context is generally like on the internet.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Sorry. Sub.
Like the Joker. The Joker's a simp.
Understood.
We have Neil Breen role playing as a stalker in Twisted Pair.
Oh my god.
I forgot about that.
Easy to overlook.
We have boobs in Critters 2.
Remember the boobs in Critters 2?
I do.
Glorious boobs.
The Menage a Jesus in the Jesus roles. Does he say that?
Menage a Jesus?
Is that a line?
No, I'm just...
That was the committee?
I mean, the committee just, you know, got pretty punny with it. Threesome involving John Turturro, Aubrey Tattoo, and Bobby Cannavale, right?
Was there one with...
Bobby Cannavale?
What's her face?
Susan Sarandon?
Susan Sarandon?
I think there might have been a sex scene with her as well. A very sexually angsty movie.
Yes. And then Pete Davidson.
Right.
Mm.
They Live's not so happy ending in They Live.
Not so happy that ending.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We have Dan Aykroyd's nose in Nothing But Trouble. Very sexy. No.
Not really sure why that's there, but... Oh, yeah, it looks like a penis. That's right. Looks like a cock.
Ah, yeah.
Looks like a cock.
Amanda Seyfried and Megan Fox play it up for the trailers in Jennifer's Body.
Give the people what they want. Give the 13-year-old Nico what he wants.
Yeah. Stupid movie.
I became a man the day I saw that trailer.
Nipping the Nip in the Bud from Ichi the Killer.
Oh, God.
That is a visual.
A little crude.
That
a little crude on the part of the nominating committee.
That one's visual. It really
is.
There are
many scenes you could have picked from that movie.
Nipping the Nip in the Bud.
Oh, God.
By the way, I just want to put this out there. For anybody who says nip it in the butt, it's not that's not the phrase.
Who says that?
People say that. It's nip it in the bud. Flower. Like a
right.
Okay.
I had someone, I don't remember what the context of this was or who it was actually, but they're driving around and they're just like, we're in the middle of butt fuck nowhere. I'm just like, what did you just say?
You've never heard that phrase? I've heard that phrase before.
It's not butt fuck nowhere.
What is?
It's
there a correct
bum fuck?
Oh, okay. I've heard people do both, but I've never actually put that together.
That butt fuck.
It was the funniest.
Was it a gay bar in Miami Beach?
That's really funny. I've never thought of it in that context.
That's Deliverance territory. That's butt fuck nowhere.
Really good. Speaking of butt fucking, we have Bradley Cooper shows Michael Ian Black his American Sniper.
Oh yeah,
in Wet Hot American
Summer.
Oh
my god,
man, that's a.
Oh, that's right.
Wow. We have a Rosary BDSM from Multiple Maniacs.
I thought that was pretty clever. Rosary BDSM.
That's pretty good.
Rosary beads. Mm.
That's pretty good.
Rosary beads. Mm.
And I don't want to say this.
Just say it.
Cameron Diaz puts the cum in combustion engine from the counselor.
It's very gynecological,
she,
Nick.
She does fuck a car.
She does.
And
very suctiony.
I gotta be honest. Like it's
like
pretty
one of
hard
those
to over
fish that just gets stuck to the glass.
It's pretty hard to overlook that.
There are two front runners for me, and I think they're pretty obvious. Oh boy,
the last two?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I actually like the last three, honestly, but those bottom two, like for sure.
I'm also into the Wet Hot American Summer pick here.
We're not going to nip anything in the bud on this. Amanda Seyfried and Megan Fox, like, again, that kissing scene was made for an award like this, and I do not award bait, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
They Live's happy ending, not so happy ending. It's a good ending, a nice little button on top, but, you know.
For this award, it'd be underwhelming.
Not particularly sexy. Yeah. Paul Rudd, I'm sorry, and Courtney Love, gas station simp or sub or whatever.
We can do better.
We can do better, certainly. Neil Breen in a sex scene is something we may never see again.
Not true, because I have seen scenes from one Double Down, which you see his balls.
What?
You see his balls.
Did you just spoil Double Down for me?
I guess I did.
There's a Neil Breen ball sighting in Double Down?
You bet your ass there is.
What?
You bet your ass there is.
Coming next week, Double Down. No.
And Neil Breen's Double Down, you see his ball sack.
All right, well, then we'll leave that alone. Love seeing boobs everywhere and all the time, but Critters 2, whatever. Yeah, I think I'm with you on this one.
This is hard for me, though.
I can go Bradley Cooper and Michael Ian Black, and I can go Cameron Diaz.
You're not going to go the Rosary beads?
No, I hate Multiple Maniacs and I hate John Waters. Oh, and he will never get any love or appreciation from me in any form.
Oh, man, I did waste my veto. Fuck.
Yep. Never going to happen. Not allowing it.
Really? Because that's like...
And I don't think Nico feels strongly enough about it.
No, certainly not. As a matter of fact, I would feel very strongly against it.
Oh, it's like
I would be shocked if Nico used his veto on this.
Let's look at the history here. 2015, Santa Claus 3. We gave it to, I believe, Martin Short pleasuring himself to the sound of his own voice. 2016, okay. We gave it to FDR American Badass, the hot dog licking scene. Mm. 2017, we gave it to Home Alone 3 for no reason at all. 2018.
Oh, there was a reason.
2018, we gave it to Panos Cosmatos for no good reason. And 2019, we gave it to Serenity, of course, that sweaty McConaughey scene between Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway, which I would consider the sexiest scene of the bunch.
In the same spirit, I could see Bradley Cooper or Cameron Diaz following Matthew McConaughey.
My vote would be Cameron Diaz, but I am open to convincing.
I don't know. The most memorable for me is still the rosary beads. for our podcast.
That's the one I'm trying to remove from my memory banks.
I will also cross off multiple maniacs. So maybe we have Adam decide between our two here. You want Bradley Cooper, Nick?
No, I'm very comfortable with Cameron Diaz. I mean, let's be the suction cupping.
No, no, that is it's either the rosary beads or Cameron Diaz. Take your pick.
I think we're all in agreement here, but now we're in a weird position, Nico.
Two awards left and two vetoes.
Oh no.
Yeah, we really got. Are there two awards left?
Correct. Yes,
there are. Wow, we really have to use these.
You don't have to use your veto if you
do.
Don't
they roll them. Over to next
okay,
year?
But Cameron Diaz.
Like multiple vetoes?
Yeah, this is an important process.
Oh, no, they expire.
They expire?
They expire.
I don't know. I feel like they should roll over.
You think they should roll over?
All right. I don't know.
Okay. Well, first of all, congratulations, Cameron Diaz, for putting in the work in the council's most memorable scene. And that really is saying something.
All right.
Most memorable scene of the council.
I know. You know, I'll allow it. It could roll over to next year. That could be fun.
That is a scary thought.
Multiple vetoes.
All right. I have another bit of business here. Every year over the past couple years, we've been handing out the Tommy Wiseau Lifetime Achievement Award. Back in 2017, and of course, it was awarded to Tommy Wiseau, the first ever Tommy Wiseau Award. 2018 went to Nicolas Cage, and 2019 went to Neil Breen, all three of them worthy inductees to this Hall of Fame of sorts. And in 2020, we now add another luminary to this list. The Tommy Wiseau Lifetime Achievement Award for historic contributions to the world of Hallmark Christmas movies. Vanessa Hudgens wins the Tommy Wiseau Lifetime Achievement Award.
This is the correct one.
Princess Switch, Princess Switch 2, The Night Before Christmas, and who knows what's still to come for Vanessa Hudgens, but has really done incredible work for WTAD over the past year, and I think is a worthy recipient of this award. Would you say so?
Oh, absolutely. I had no idea where you were going with this until you said her name. I'm like, oh wow, of course.
I gotta give the nominating committee a little bit of credit here. This was well thought out.
This is
the nominating committee thanks you.
Yes, this is the best decision we've made all night.
All right, here we go. Two chances left to use your veto, Nick.
Yikes. Same to you.
Yeah.
This is going to go to Adam.
Oh, here we go. All right. And here we go. The Affleck Award for Best Actor.
I just read the last one. That's really funny.
I love that. Oh, boy. Look at this. Here we go. Michael Fassbender as Counselor, the Counselor. Greg Cohen as Doug Jones, the Velociraptor. Doug Jones is his name?
Yes.
It is?
Much like the former Alabama senator and future attorney general? Is that what they're doing with Doug Jones, Nick? And also the character from friggin', the Twin Peaks, The Return.
It's always Twin Peaks, as far as I'm concerned.
I think Doug Jones is going to be the AG, I think.
Okay. Interesting.
Could be wrong.
All right. George Hardy as himself, best worst movie. Werner Herzog as Werner Herzog, Incident at Loch Ness. Kurt Russell as Jack Burton, Big Trouble in Little China. Roddy Piper as Nada, They Live. Neil Breen as Cade Altair and Kale Altair, Twisted Pair. Kane Hodder as Jason Voorhees / Uber Jason, Jason X. President Ronald Reagan as Professor Peter Boyd, Bedtime for Bonzo. Sean Connery as John Patrick Mason, The Rock. Jean-Claude Van Damme as Frank Dukes, Bloodsport. And Frank Dukes as Frank Dukes, Put Up Your Dukes.
I love the idea that Frank Dukes' life is an act.
Oh,
I really enjoy that.
What a fucking loser.
Oh, man, guys.
This is
a great list.
always a stacked category. In the past, we've given this to Tim Curry for Rocky Horror, David Bowie for Labyrinth, R. Kelly for Trapped in the Closet, Burt Reynolds for Deliverance and Striptease, and Jeremy Renner is the reigning winner of this award, 2019's The Bourne Legacy podcast.
I'm going to cross off an obvious one for me. Like,
okay.
Kane Hodder's not even my favorite Jason, okay. So got to get rid of him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I knew you were going to have a problem with him, so.
Yeah, sorry, all you Friday the 13th fans. I know he's your favorite, but never quite worked for me.
Now, here's one thing I have to say. I forgot. You guys are going to laugh so hard at me here. For a second, I thought it was McConaughey, not Fassbender, in The Counselor. So,
because that's more for him, that role.
So clearly, he didn't stand out to me.
I think you're right about that, though.
But his name is Counselor.
It is so funny that his name is so, Counselor.
In the spirit of the... I have a few people I'm okay with here, okay, right? Like, I'm okay with Frank Dukes, Sean Connery, Ronald Reagan, Roddy Piper. Those are all cool picks. Werner Herzog. But in the spirit of the past picks we've done, I feel like Kurt Russell is a standout here.
I was leaning towards Kurt Russell as well. Is there anybody on this list that we loved as much as Kurt Russell? I don't know.
And especially as Jack Burton. We've talked about Kurt Russell quite a bit this year, but that role in particular.
It is the best.
Two pseudo-documentaries that we did on Documentary Month.
Mm-hmm.
Werner Herzog as himself in Incident at Loch Ness. Has It With Taddy already is wonderful in that. I don't think should be discounted here, though. George Hardy in Best Worst Movie. We have not talked about the documentaries that much that we covered this year, but that was a standout documentary for me. It was my favorite documentary we covered this year.
Yep.
And it's because of that character and sort of the rise and fall, the sort of Shakespearean tragedy that is George Hardy, I thought was wonderful.
He is a very interesting person.
Insanely
a dentist.
Compelling. Insanely
dentist
compelling.
Turned bad movie celebrity.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Reagan, you know, doesn't have an Oscar.
That's the thing.
Doesn't have. Yeah. He needs the Oscar still.
Does anyone here have an Oscar? Connery? No.
Kurt Russell?
Yes, he does.
For what?
The Untouchables.
Oh, right. Of course. Okay. He's the only Oscar winner. All right.
Fassbender's never won an Oscar either?
Huh?
Michael Fassbender's never won an Oscar?
No.
He's been nominated, I think.
A couple times, yeah.
Okay.
So what's the consensus here?
I really like Kurt Russell for this one.
I think Kurt Russell's a very good pick, and I agree with what you said about Werner Herzog not being discounted here. I think he is a strong contender, actually.
He's one of the best parts of that movie, for sure.
And he was acting, right? He really was.
It's been a good couple of years for Werner. I mean, with The Mandalorian and all that, too. Just the way he shows up now. When we did our Miyazaki pod, he showed up in one of those movies, interestingly enough.
The Wind Rises. Yeah. Werner he's sort of become an actor now.
I know.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
He's fairly prolific. So yeah, I mean.
I really
what are you leaning on, Nico? I mean, I think we've laid our. Are you planning on vetoing here?
Well, yeah. I feel the need to.
Are you going to veto this?
This has been a very, like, non-contentious Wittaddies.
I guess.
And I feel bad that we're agreeing so much. Normally, like, this is a pretty violent game that we play every year. Is this the most cordial Wittaddies we've had so far? Yeah. I don't know.
Listen, it was a tough year, okay?
Yeah,
hey,
I
wanted the anal beads, guys. I'm sorry.
You can
fine,
have
I'll veto.
Them, buddy.
I'll veto.
Aw, damn it.
Frank Dukes. Frank Dukes.
Yikes.
Frank Dukes deserves to be mentioned.
Bad choice.
Frank Dukes, there is no greater performance than Frank Dukes in his own life.
Fucking hell.
And I think, like, the guy committed to method better than any other. Is there any actor on this list that was more method than Frank Dukes? I think not.
I think there's a separation between method and psychopathy. So,
fine line. Certainly fine line.
Yes.
Frank Dukes, put up your dukes. Frank Dukes as Frank Dukes.
That's nasty. I don't like having him amongst these winners.
You forced my hand, man.
I guess I did.
I would have vetoed before to get Chong Li on there. I'll trade you a veto. You give me Chong Li, I'll let you choose the winner here.
No.
Okay.
No.
Very well.
It's all right. You Frank
got
Dukes,
Keith David.
It's a better place now that we know that Keith David has won a Wattati.
Okay.
I don't have a total problem with Frank Dukes, to be honest.
It's fine.
I can live with it. I can live with it.
Okay.
All right.
Next award, Nick, you're going to be reading this. And by the way, you have the final veto, so you will be the person to decide.
So I can either use this veto or I can save it for next year?
Yep.
That's what we're allowing, huh?
I'm allowing it.
Okay. That's cool.
This is fascinating. Okay. Well, the Tim Curry Award for Best Actress. All right. We have Evan Rachel Wood as Marianne in Strange Magic, Taya Leone as Jennifer Lerner in Deep Impact, Divine as Lady Divine in Multiple Maniacs, Megan Fox as Jennifer in Jennifer's Body, Amanda Seyfried as Needy in Jennifer's Body, the great Meryl Streep as Madeline Ashton Menville in Death Becomes Her.
Does she have a Wattati yet? I don't think she does.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, I'm not sure about giving her one because, like, I feel like she has enough awards, but I also feel like giving her one will take her down a peg, you know?
I got you.
We also have Goldie Hawn as Helen Sharp in Death Becomes Her.
That's true.
Lindsay Lohan as Aubrey Fleming and Dakota Moss in I Know Who Killed Me.
That's a tight one.
Double roll.
Yeah.
You got to love those double rolls.
Patrick Swayze as Vita in Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. Melissa Joan Hart as Gertrude Trudy Chandler in Holiday in Handcuffs. And Vanessa Hudgens as Princess Stacy Juliet de Novo Wyndham, Lady Margaret Catherine Claire Delacourt, Lady Fiona Pembroke, Princess Stacy Juliet de Novo Wyndham as Lady Margaret Catherine Claire Delacourt, Lady Margaret Catherine Claire Delacourt as Princess Stacy Juliet de Novo Wyndham, Lady Fiona Pembroke as Lady Margaret Catherine Claire Delacourt, and Lady Fiona Pembroke as Princess Stacy Juliet de Novo Wyndham as Lady Margaret Catherine Claire Delacourt in The Princess even, Switch Switched Again. Are you shocked at how well I did that, by the way?
That was really good.
Stunning. I was hoping that would take 5 minutes.
Are we even going to discuss this one?
I mean...
Dude, come on.
Here's the thing, all right?
Don't squirm. You know what the answer is.
I'm going to be honest with you. I did not read ahead. I read these in order. And for a while there, Lindsay Lohan was looking like a real strong contender. Mm-hmm. Until I remembered Vanessa Hudgens and the joy she has brought many this year.
Yes.
Have we ever given a Lifetime Achievement Award and a Best Actor or Actress Award in the same year?
I don't know. Good question.
Yes.
We have? Oh, who was it?
Neil Breen.
Well, then.
Well, actually, no. I'm sorry. I take that back. We gave Neil Breen a Best Director Award in 2017, but gave him a Lifetime Achievement in 2019.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So not at the same time, not in the same year, but we have had a winner of a Lifetime Achievement and a Best.
And Nick Cage has won a bunch already. So.
I mean, I got to be honest here. I don't think there's any competition.
Yeah, me neither.
Wow. Okay. All right. Nick preserves his veto. Is that what's going on?
I guess
here?
So.
I'm okay with him preserving his veto, but like legitimately none of these guys even come close.
Lohan, I agree with you, is probably the closest. Neither of the Jennifer's Body duo.
Definitely not Patrick Swayze. He was my least favorite of those three.
If we were going to do Death Becomes Her, like maybe Meryl Streep, but again.
I mean, she's really good in it, but...
Yeah, I know, but does she need more awards?
But I even like Goldie Hawn, but even that's not as impressive as what Vanessa Hudgens is doing.
Now, I'll tell you what, if we swapped for Best Supporting and Best Lead for Patrick Swayze and Wesley Snipes, now we're talking, right?
All right, I think, okay, but, cool.
Yeah, let's Vanessa Hudgens, let's give
let's
it.
Let's go with it. Congratulations to Vanessa Hudgens. Cleaning up tonight. Cleaning up. At the Wattatis. And here we go. The final award of the night. The Seriously, Why Is This a Thing Award for Thing of the Year.
I
Your
love
nominees.
This name.
Thing the of Terror the Year. Of Tiny Town. The Velocipastor. The Counselor. Strange magic. Nothing but trouble. Twisted pair. North. Blood sport. Multiple maniacs. I know who killed me. The Princess Switch. To Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. And Dune. Talk to me, fellas.
All right. Okay. So, seriously, why is this a thing? Some of these, I think we can knock off the list, right? Terror of Tiny Town, we know why. Yes. We get it.
It's the first ever Western musical starring an all-dwarf cast, right?
Yeah, but I get it. Seems kind of obvious in retrospect, huh?
You had to do a musical Western with an all-midget cast eventually.
Right. We were going to get there.
So the reasons I think are obvious.
I'm not sure there's much of an argument for Bloodsport, personally. You know, yeah. It's just a kung fu movie. You know,
no, I think you're right.
But yeah, it is what it is.
Was a highlight of the year, though, I thought.
I don't know. Right? No, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't disagree, but like, it's not the thing of the year. It's not where you like seriously would go, why the fuck is this a thing?
Okay.
Come on.
Fair enough.
Good movie, but yeah.
Should I go through the history, by the way? Oh, I forgot to mention Best Actress. Vanessa Hudgens joins a crop of Tara Reid, Michelle Pfeiffer, Felissa Rose from Sleepaway Camp, Divine, who won the award in the past. She was going for the repeat there. I forgot to mention that. I'm sorry. And Emilia Clarke for Last Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Were the winners of that award. Tara Reid for Sharknado 3, Michelle Pfeiffer for Grease 2.
I'm glad that female leads in Christmas movies is the new trend.
Right. But the Seriously Wise is the Thing award, we go again, like the Best Picture category, they always get this wrong. 2015 was Pompidou, beat The Room, was a big upset. 2016 was Thanksgiving, whatever. 2017, Birdemic won the Why Is This a Thing award. 2018 was Mandy. And 2019, The O in Ohio.
I think all of those were right, except for The O in Ohio.
Okay.
I think that was the weakest year. It was last year, so we have to come back strong.
I mean, think about this. Troll 2 is not on this list. You know, no Neil Breen movie has ever won Best Picture.
There's something about a Neil Breen. Like, I'm not even tempted to give it to Twisted Pair, if I'm being honest with you.
I do think Twisted Pair was the weakest Neil Breen movie we've seen so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Even still, while Neil Breen is, like, a fascinating case study, he is not necessarily, like, he doesn't alter our year. You know what I mean?
No. It's repetitive at this point for me, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like they feel like one long bad movie.
they all blend together. Can't tell where one ends or another begins.
Really?
Honestly put them in a random order on a loop and it would make just as much sense.
Yes, I agree. I got to be honest with you. I have it boiled down.
Well, let's see. To Wong Fu we want to cross off?
No.
Yes. I have it boiled down to three movies.
No.
Three movies.
We're not crossing off To Wong Fu.
Okay. Can we cross off Princess Switch?
No.
No.
Really?
No. No.
Wow. Okay, I know Nico probably wants to keep I Know Who Killed Me.
Yes.
I definitely do.
Okay.
Multiple Maniacs? Are we crossing
off? Yes, we can cross off.
Cross that. Yeah, good.
I agree with that.
Okay.
We don't need that.
We already gave North the podcast award. I don't think we need to give it movie.
Guys, we got to keep Dune on this one.
I agree with
you.
I'm not kidding. We got to keep Dune.
I agree with you because I think like Dune... Well, in many ways, it was like the season-long
plot line. We were building
line.
Up to it, yeah.
You know, it's normally a pretty episodic show, but that was the one serialized thing we carried over since September.
And when we got to it, you were quite literally like, guys, I don't know what the fuck I just saw.
Right. It paid off.
Yes, it did.
It was a long tail, but it finally paid off this plot line.
There's a good narrative there.
Dune-sember is a phrase that we will continue to use long past the time where we watch Dune in December.
Even the thing is, though, the new Dune is coming out in October, but we're still going to call it Dune-sember.
Of course. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Well, Dune, you're assuming it won't get pushed back again, Adam, to next
Velocipaster, what do you think?
No.
Yeah, I could pass on that. No,
I have to pass on it, too.
Strange Magic, we can pass on.
I agree.
You think?
Yep.
I do.
I agree.
I think Strange Magic was another strong entry for us. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think there are stronger entries, but... That movie's nuts. Let's not forget how crazy that movie is.
I did watch it at 2x speed as well, so there was that.
Yeah, well, you missed out on the full experience.
And then what's left is Nothing But Trouble, I think, that we haven't mentioned.
Nothing But Trouble?
For Thing of the Year, I'm not.
Yeah, we can get rid of it.
Okay.
I'm not. I think it leaves I Know Who Killed Me, The Princess Switch, Tu Wong Fu, and Dune.
No, you're missing one more.
Yep.
You got The Counselor.
Oh, and The Counselor. And The Counselor.
And that is staying.
So, now we got to talk.
Yes, yeah, we do. God, I'm really, I'm personally not crazy about Tu Wong Fu. I know you are, Nick, but
well, let's talk about
it for
a second.
Next to the other ones.
Let's talk about Tu Wong Fu for a moment.
Okay.
Indulge me.
Sure.
This category, seriously, why is this a thing? When I heard that there was a movie made in the 90s starring Patrick Swayze and Wesley Snipes and John Leguizamo playing like transgender models or whatever. I don't know the. I mean, when I was going, what the fuck is going on? Right. and purely on premise alone, this movie is wild.
Yes. Sure.
And the title is insane. And everything looking at
this movie is the title. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking at a poster for this film in the year 2020 is just mind blowing. So,
and I think that's correct, but I do think that this is one of those movies where the second you watch it,
yep,
the mystery of why this is a thing becomes less and less unclear.
It's too baity. It's too baity.
You know,
for me.
By the time the movie's over, you understand the answer to that question. Where I think the great movies that we cover on this podcast, the question only becomes more obtuse.
We're still asking. The point is to still be scratching our heads about this even after we've given it the award.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So for that reason, I would cross off Tu Wong Fu.
I'm definitely.
That's fine. We can cross it off. I just wanted to give it its explanation.
What are we down to here?
We're down to The Counselor, I Know Who Killed Me, The Princess Switch, and Dune.
All right. I think, Nico, try to convince me on I Know Who Killed Me.
I mean, if you guys aren't feeling strong about it, that's okay. I mean, I think, like, both as a storyline, it makes no sense. And the execution somehow makes less sense.
Yes.
And which is insane that it's unclear in the script and even more, opaque as it. I don't know. Like, this movie's insane. I don't know.
It's definitely insane, but I'm also thinking back to the podcast, and I'm not sure we had the same, like, guttural reaction that we had with the other movies, though.
Fair. I did, though, watching it.
I know you had a very strong reaction to that movie.
Yes.
And it did sort of hit this sublime thing for me.
Okay.
Where, like, I'm watching it. So what do they call that in Seoul when they're like they're playing and they?
You're the expert
the
on that
place,
movie, not me.
The happy place, the special place. What do they call that when he's playing and he all of a sudden he goes to the
spark?
The spark. I don't know where they. That's what happened to me as I was watching. I Know Who Killed Me. Like I felt like I was levitating over my body and I was watching myself watching the movie. It was crazy. Took me out of myself. But if you don't feel that strong about it, that's okay. This is
it's not that I don't. It's just that I don't know if it was like thing of the year.
Yes, that's
I think it was thing of that month.
In fairness, it is my runner up because I think that this is the most obvious choice we've ever had. So I will go with you and cross that out.
Okay.
Okay. So is the next one?
So what are we left?
The Counselor.
With?
We are left
to
with
the Princess Switch and Dune.
The Princess Switch and Dune.
So The Counselor, is there any reason to keep it?
Yeah.
I think The Counselor is one of the most astounding pieces of art I've ever seen.
Yep.
Okay. It's the worst film I've ever. It's for me.
Yeah.
If somebody came up to me and said, what is the actual worst movie you've ever seen? I would say The Counselor.
But here's the thing. It is a bottom five movie that I've seen, but also a top five movie that
correct.
I've seen.
Correct.
And that's unbelievable.
Correct. No, guys, I'm serious. Like, I think to categorize it as good or bad is disrespectful to the movie.
That's interesting. Okay, so
I didn't. No, honestly, I like the movie. I think it's a good movie. I think
it's not a good movie.
I know it's bad, but I think it's good. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I know exactly what you
no,
mean.
No, I think it's incredible. I think, like, as an experiment of screenwriting, I've truly never seen anything like it. Mm. Truly. I've never seen a movie with so little exposition and so much fat on the bone. Like, it is astounding. There is no skeleton. It is only meat. The movie is amazing in that. The dialogue, knocks me on the floor every time. The performances are so dumbfounding. The direction, who the hell knows what's going on?
I don't even know if there was direction. I don't think the director was there.
What a perfect thing.
Yes.
What a perfect thing.
I will say this, like there are examples of like something like Dune, like because Dune is like an early example of like what you get with, I don't know, like Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
You know, equally as like confounding, but it's at the end of the day, just a studio fuck up.
Right.
But it is a lot of like, what the fuck is this? And I do like the narrative we created with Dune. So honestly, it's The Counselor and it's Dune for me.
I would cross off Princess Switch as well, just because if we're not going to give it to a Christmas prince, we can't give it to Princess Switch.
Yeah. I think, you know, and the Princess Switch, I don't know if it's really a thing of the year. I think it's this is the Netflix cinematic universe we're talking about. This is going to span many years.
Sure.
We won't know what it's really like until we get to the end game.
Right, exactly.
we
haven't
truly
even gotten a Civil War yet.
We will truly never have anything like The Counselor again.
Yes, yes.
We haven't even gotten to the Aldovian Civil War yet, guys.
That's good.
Here's the thing. Dune, I don't think Dune is over.
No.
And when you're saying, you know, if you're saying thing of the year, that sort of implies like something that has come to a close.
Sure.
And I really think that we've just opened Pandora's box.
I agree.
I completely agree. So,
are we on agreement here?
Yes, we are.
An obvious choice, but the correct choice nonetheless. Congratulations to Ridley Scott and Cormac McCarthy's The Counselor. For the Seriously, Why Is This a Thing Award for Thing of the Year.
Wow.
Oh, goodness. Well, there we go.
Look at all these awards.
Do you want to go through it one more time?
I'll give it my best shot. Here we go. The Good Afternoon Award for Most Memorable Quote went to Are You Really That Cold? The Truth Has No Temperature. The Counselor. The Buscemi Award for Best Actor went to Keith David as Frank.
Supporting actor, right?
Yeah, supporting actor. And They Live. The Giamatti Award for Best Supporting Actress went to, I didn't highlight this
Catherine
one.
Alpin.
Catherine Alpin, that's right.
Love the Elf.
Love the Elf. And what do we got now? The Fuck the Audience Award for Best Podcast Guest went to Jeff for Itchy the Killer.
Congratulations, Jeff.
Congratulations. The Bunny in the Box Award for Excellence in Nicolas Cage went to Nicolas Cage as Nathan in Color Out of Space. The Great Afternoon Award for Podcast of the Year went to North. I had a lot of fun with that one. The Cinder Award for Best Director goes to John Carpenter.
Pull up every doc I have of WTAT nominations. They all say the same thing.
I mean, if we have the same typo for over 5 years, I think it's set in stone.
It's
set in stone. Absolutely.
It's can't change award. It.
I swear to God, you made that joke 4 years ago, Nick.
Probably.
You made the same joke.
It's like poetry. Yeah. It goes to John Carpenter for Big Trouble, Little China, Dark Star, They Live, In the Mouth of Madness, and Ghosts of Mars. Oh. The Very Naughty Award for Sexiest Scene goes to, of course, Cameron Diaz puts the cum in combustion engine. The Counselor.
Man, cleaning up.
Did The Counselor take home three?
Holy shit.
Yes.
Not bad.
Wow.
The Affleck Award for Best Actor goes to Frank Dukes as Frank Dukes. For Put Up Your Dukes. I like the alliteration. Oh, God. The Tim Curry Award for Best Actress goes to Vanessa Hudgens as Princess Stacy Julia DeNova Wyndham, Lady Margaret Catherine Claire Delacour, Lady Fiona Bembrook, Princess Stacy Julia DeNova Wyndham as Lady Margaret Catherine Claire Delacour, Lady Margaret Catherine Claire Delacour as Princess Stacy Julia DeNova Wyndham, Lady Fiona Bembrook as Lady Margaret Catherine Claire Delacour. I can't do it. And Lady Fiona Pembroke as Princess Daisy Julia DeNova Wyndham as Lady Margaret. The stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen. You get it. Whatever.
Vanessa Hudgens won that.
Yeah,
she also won the Lifetime Achievement Award, the Tommy Wiseau Lifetime Achievement Award. For
she got a lot of love this year as well.
Yeah, she did.
To the world of Hallmark Christmas movies.
We're very happy for her.
Yeah.
And the Seriously, Why Is This Thing Award for Thing of the Year goes to The Counselor, of course.
And Nick saves a veto.
Yeah, he does.
I do.
This is dangerous.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with this power.
Yeah, I'm scared.
And that does it. Call it a Wattaddies, everyone.
And the real win, cordial. The real victory, is that Divine did not win any awards.
Man, you fucking despise John Waters and Divine.
Can't stand it.
You should see that documentary, I Am Divine. It's a lot of fun. I watched it recently. It was pretty good.
All right. Wow. Guys, Happy New Year. That was a blast.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year.
What a year we had.
I'm tired. I'm going to go sleep for the rest of the year.
It was an exhausting year, 2020. But here we are, 2021. And let's hope we can keep this momentum going. What do you say?
Well, I think we're going to keep the momentum because we are getting into Hodorowski's territory. And oh, my God, you guys are in for such a fucking treat.
Hodorowski Hanuary is around the corner. Nick, what is coming up next week on the
podcast?
So
are we going to be doing Hodorowski's Dune?
I thought we were saving that for documentary month, but I guess that's in March.
Yeah, that would be in March.
So should we do it now? What do we do about that?
I'm fine with whatever you want to do. All I care about is that we do El Topo and the Holy Mountain. Guys, I cannot express enough how excited I am for Holy Mountain. You have no idea.
So we have 3 weeks left in January.
Yep.
One of them's going to be Holy Mountain. One of them's going to be El Topo. The third one can either be another Hodorowski movie or it can be Hodorowski Dune, and we can save the other one till February.
So I thought we were going to do Hodorowski's Dune to sort of pull Dune-cember into Hodorowski January.
Which I'm okay with.
Oh, got it. Okay, that
you
makes
see?
Sense.
I thought it was the carryover.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And then
here's the thing that I do want to caution you. We often have some trouble
with documentary.
When documentary month rolls
around.
That's true. And we find ourselves putting in documentaries that are not actually documentaries.
Well, just get one for Nicolas Cage as Superman.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got one on the list.
Down, 4 to go.
What I will say is that it will carry over the Dune-ness for the rest of the year if we were to stretch it out and do it in March. So if you wanted to space out the Dune content, we could do that.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, do we have an introduction to who Hodorowski is and...
No, and that's the issue. It's like we're just
I feel like we can't appreciate Hodorowski Hanuary without seeing the man himself.
Well, you're going to see the man himself if you just jump right into El Topo. Oh my God.
How
okay, let's let's stick with that then. Let's do Hodorowski's Dune. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. And listeners at home, send us some documentaries. Start now.
Yes.
We need
on
help.
The Discord, start sending
start
us
now.
Some interesting documentaries for us to talk about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're looking for shit like Grizzly Man, you know?
Yeah, we're looking for, the wilder, the more unpredictable, the better.
Yes.
Just absolutely batshit stories. Anything you can find.
Pervy stuff works, too.
Oh, yeah.
Pervy stuff?
Did we ever do, what's it called?
Voyeur?
Yeah, Voyeur.
I don't think we did. We can maybe do that.
You want to do Voyeur?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
I've watched Voyeur before. That's a weird fucking movie.
it is a weird fucking movie.
But yeah, jam-packed year ahead. 2021 is going to be the best one yet.
What do you say? Let's go for 52?
What's up?
You want to go for 52?
Yeah, we'll try.
Oh, God. Okay.
At the very least, we got to get to 48.
We have to outdo ourselves every year.
Yeah, we have to.
Oh, my God.
So we'll work on it. Let's not skip any weeks. Guys, I love you. Heading into year 6. Of this podcast. Year 7, I'm sorry. Year 7 of this podcast is insane. I never thought that we would still be here. Neither did Zach. That's why he's not here. we're still going strong. And I thank you guys for your support over the past year. And I do hope that our podcast gave you some sort of solace, some sort of escape for what has been a pretty difficult year for everybody. So we love you. Have a very happy new year. Stay safe. And that's it. Until next time. You guys have been so very, very naughty.
Naughty.